Well, they're very unhappy. I'm watching them. All they do is complain. So all I'm saying is, if they want to leave, they can leave, John. They can leave.
First of all, I just want to tell you what a great show you got. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, thank you. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a coat?
I've told you once. No, you haven't. Yes, I have. Oh, just now. No, you didn't. Yes, I did.
Didn't I?
I'm
telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, sorry. Is this a 5-minute argument or a full half hour?
Oh, just the 5-minute one.
Fine. Thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Now, let's get one thing quite clear. I most definitely told you.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, this is an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
It is. You just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
No.
You did, just
no,
there.
No, that was nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. You came here for an argument.
Well, an argument's not the same as contradiction.
Can be.
No, it can't. An argument is a collective series of statements to establish a definite proposition.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, tweets, racists, siblings, who should go home and who should stay, politics and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a little while. You know what the real problem is with this country? I mean, when you really drill it down all the way to the bedrock of every problem we have, do you know what the real problem with this country is? Nobody can take a fucking joke. What else is new? Am I right? Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email, dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web. According to Experian, even the dark web. Use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to thedavebowmanshow.com or look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Ego Biberi Capula Sadali Viverv. I drink coffee so that others might live. Well, you can probably hear it in my voice. It is not, we have sickness ravaging the house. Two of the three kids have been down so far with some kind of fever. No doubt I shall have it soon. I'm not feeling particularly great, but here I am. Huzzah. I'm like Jay Cutler. I finished the game. So it was a long time ago. I'm 55, and it was, as I said, a very long time ago that five kids, we have three kids living in the house now, and it's about to drive me insane. Back in the day, I grew up with five kids in the house, two adults, five kids, and not to put too fine a point on it, most of us hated each other. Well, we didn't hate each other, but you know how siblings are. You know how it is, right? So between myself, the oldest, and my youngest brother, there's 10 years between me and my baby sister. My baby sister is Down syndrome, so not as much of a factor in all this as you might think. But between myself and my youngest brother, I think there's 8 years. So when he was a little baby, I was 8. When I was 16, he was 8. When I left home at 17, he was 9. So it's a bit of an age difference, but we did spend a lot of time hanging out together and the likes of that. And but you know how kids are, and you know what happens. You know what goes on. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I didn't participate in it, because I probably did, but I don't have any specific memories of it. And I remember that my youngest brother, and even my younger brother, not the youngest, used to drive me insane. They used to do stuff that just, it would just piss me off. I mean, it really would. And they were doing it on purpose. I think that's the thing people forget about with kids, is, and I watch it with Ben and his nephew and niece. It's like they just do stuff to drive each other crazy. And as parents, you can ignore it, or you can tell them to stop, knowing full well it's not going to do anything. But man, my youngest brother, he used to just, the things he would do. And he would just push and push and push and push and annoy and annoy and pick and and then as soon as you hit him, because inevitably we would, he would run to the telephone, call mom at work, and tell her that we hit him. They're hitting me. They're being mean. And he would leave out all the stuff that he did. He would forget about all of that. He would forget to tell her the one real incident that really stands out in my mind was when he called mom and just crying about how we hit him and how we made him go outside and locked him out in the backyard and all that BS. But he kept forgetting to tell mom that, you know, he was throwing tricycles at us down the stairs while we were trying to come upstairs. He would throw tricycle down at us. And it was quite the thing. He would forget to tell mom, you know, that there's two sides to every story. You know, we were kids. I was probably 12 or 13, which means, you know, he was, what, 5, 6, somewhere in there. And it was just, you know how kids are. You know how siblings are. And, of course, time changes and it goes by. And eventually the three of us, well, not necessarily, you know, friends in the sense of we hung out all the time because, again, there wasn't quite an age difference. But there was, you know, some acceptance of one another in the sense of we were able to at least get along and make fun of each other's haircuts because it's what we did. Now, I tell you that story to tell you that I've watched what's been happening over the last few days with the four Congress people and the four people who have been screeched, the five people who have been screeching at each other about everything that's going on with you know, this, that, and the other thing. And it's rather remarkable to me to watch all of this happening. It's rather remarkable to me that the reaction to this as a nation is, well, like I said, nobody can take a joke anymore. Nobody can laugh at anything anymore. Now everything has to be taken 100% seriously, to the point where four congresswomen will walk out there and announce that it's in time to impeach this president over his crimes. Well, what exactly are these crimes that they want him impeached over? Well, he told us we should leave. And all I could think of, I've watched this happening, I've listened to it happening, and all I can think to myself is, it's just Darren throwing the tricycle down the stairs again. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of fucking kids who are yelling at each other and whining at each other and picking on each other and the parents, which is us, are stepping back with those two options that we had before. We can ignore it and just let them, you know, beat the crap out of each other and maybe they'll learn something. Or we can get involved. You damn kids, stop that! And now we get frustrated and now we get irritated and now we start snipping at each other because, you know, like, it's one of the funniest things, and I probably shouldn't say this, but this is, you know, off the cuff here. I have notes, I really do, but I'm far afield of that already. One of the funniest things that I think of with my wife and I is how we react differently to Ben's annoyances. You know, Ben can be a very annoying little kid sometimes. He really can be. And it seems to vary by day. Some days it drives me up a wall and I'm kind of, and I finally snap and I get on him about it. And invariably, as soon as I do, my wife was like, you need to just relax. You just need to he's a kid. You need to deal with it. He's 9. And then the next day he'll be doing something again that I don't even notice. And my wife will snap. You need to stop that. You're driving me insane. And then I am wise enough not to say to her, you know, you need to just relax. I've never done that, but I think in my head, I'm thinking it. Because you're just dealing with kids. That's all we're dealing with here. And we're looking at these five people, and what we're realizing, what we should be realizing, but we're not for some reason, is that this whole freaking thing is just, it's just a fight. It's just five people picking on each other. Merrick stinks. And then as soon as one of them responds, they're on the phone to mom, to the parents, to say, oh, he's picking on us. He's being mean to us. As if somehow or another we're not smart enough to figure out that they're all just a bunch of children yelling at each other and picking on each other and doing the things that kids do. The part we can't get past is the fact that they're all at least 35 years of age. Well, maybe not. But you know, they're all past 21, that's for sure. And they're all acting like six-year-olds. And it just, I don't know. I know how I'm supposed to react. Yeah, John, he's nine. It's hard to believe. He got a fish tank for his birthday, too. It's pretty wild. And the stupid thing about all this is that the four horsemen of the apocalypse aren't smart enough to figure out that they're being baited. And the president is enjoying baiting them. I don't know. You know, I say this all the time. Every adult male, there's a little bit of little boy in us. I still love dinosaurs. You can fascinate me with plastic dinosaurs. You really can. At one point, when I was on the air, I had a studio filled with plastic dinosaurs because I like them. I like to play with them. I'm a little boy. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's still a little bit of a little boy in you. And I think the president still has a little boy in him, and he likes taunting people. He likes baiting them. He likes getting them fired up. He likes getting them spun up, the 60 cycle spin up there, and getting a reaction out of them. And he's done that. And their reaction is to call mom, us, the American people, and demand that we do something about it. You have to do something about this right now. Well, and now we're in this position where you have to take a position on this. You understand that, right? You can't just shake your head and go, children, go to your rooms and be quiet. You can't do that. Now you got to say, well, he's either a racist and I have to denounce his comments, or I have to say, well, you started it and do that. And if you don't do one of those two things, well, then you're either supporting that guy or defending them or whatever. And I swear to God, I've gotten to the point over the last 24 hours. I was working on this show last night. I was putting the stuff together. I told you, I bought a bunch of notes and stuff. And I just like, the more I listen to this and the more I listen to my kid fight with his nephew and niece, the more I just, we had all the kids over, well, I guess three of the four kids, the adult kids over last night. And even they were picking on each other. And it's like, you just sit there and you just go, how did we ever get to this point? How did we go from George Washington and James Madison, Abraham Lincoln? How did we go from that to what we've experienced over the last, say, I don't know, 30, 40 years? How did this happen? And, you know, there's articles all over the paper today about millennials need to stop talking about adulting and start doing it. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem that we as a nation lost our sense of humor and lost our sense of adulting. We stopped growing up. We failed the launch, which is a kind of weird thing to say on July 16th, the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 launch. I mean, it's almost as if we've just stopped. And I'm not sure where that happened. I'm not sure when it happened. I'm not even sure how it happened. But I know this. It's just a bunch of freaking kids behaving like children. That's all it is. And they're trying, desperately trying, to draw us in, just like my little brother was when he called mom and said, me. And then I got on the phone and said, yeah, but he forgot to tell you that he did this, 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 and this. It's no different than that. It's just a bunch of kids calling us, the parents, and saying, well, they did this to me, and they did that to me, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. Instead of saying to ourselves, God damn it, does anybody know how to take a fucking joke anymore? What the hell happened to us? How did we go from laughing our tails off at Blazing Saddles to the point where if somebody describes something using a color, it's racism? How did that happen to us? What the hell went wrong with us? Where did this go off the rails? And I don't know the answer. I don't know. I do know this. I know it's a bunch of people acting like kids. But somehow or another, we haven't, as a nation, become adult enough to say to them, just go to your freaking rooms and shut up. Or we're going to take away your toys, or we're going to take away your electronics, we're going to take away your whatever. Instead, we start picking sides in the fight. We start picking fights. We start getting on each other's nerves. We start doing this. Well, obviously, you're favoring that child over this child, and he can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. Dear God, I wish I could tell you something cogent about who's right and who's wrong and whose side you should be on and what side you should support and all that. But the truth of the matter is they're all just a bunch of freaking kids. They're all just a bunch of children. All of them are just a bunch of children. And I'm sure some of you don't like that. But Dave, they did this. But Dave, he said that. But Dave, I don't give a flying fuck. I really don't. I really don't. You're all a bunch of annoying little... And we're paying them for this. That's the dumb part of this whole thing, is we're paying them. Well, I guess that's just like kids, right? Pay for kids. Pay for them. And in the middle of all this, I got distracted last night because... I know, I'm supposed to care about politics and or the news. I know, I'm supposed to be Mr. Conservative telling you what you should think about all this. And what I'm telling you is, unlike the rest of the talking heads on the radio who are telling you that Trump's right, Trump's right, Trump's right, Trump's right, these communists, this, that, what I'm going to tell you is it's all a bunch of bullshit. All of it. And in the meantime, Harry Reid is tweeting that the truth is out there. Harry Reid, for those of you who don't know, used to be a United States senator, and he was kind of a jerk. Probably corrupt as all get out. But what else is new? They all are. And this comes about because what distracted me last night is this article about how seriously should you take these recent reports of UFOs? I know it has nothing to do with the other, but Jesus, at some point, don't we have to kind of go... You know what? I've had enough of the BS. I've had enough of people pointing fingers at each other and going, "He did this to me. He did that to me. He said this. That's I said this." I get into this with Ben all the time. Ben comes home and says, "So and so said something." I said, "So? It's just words. Words can't hurt you." Well, I was offended. So what? Anyway, UFOs. You know how I feel about UFOs. This is one of those things where. Dave, most people who know me know that I don't believe in UFOs. Let me rephrase that. I believe in unidentified flying objects. What I don't believe is that they are anything to be necessarily concerned about in the sense of, oh my God, they must be aliens. They must be this, that, or the other. They must be evidence of this, that, and the other. And of course, I grew up in the 70s. Late 60s, early 70s, when, you know, space travel was just getting started and everything was exciting about this. But there was some concern. I mean, we had, was it Carl Sagan talking about, you know, my God, if contact with aliens might be a bad thing. We had movies after movies after movies telling us that, you know, aliens were going to destroy us and all this other stuff. And so somehow or another, it didn't seem like all that great of an idea, right? I mean, it seemed like it was going to be a problem. And so there was this, I don't know, element of things that just kind of, I'm not really sure how to explain it other than to say, well, you know, they're UFOs. But now, apparently, the military has admitted that they spent 5 years studying UFOs. And so since the government has admitted that, now it's time to take UFOs seriously, you see. 5 years. 5 years studying UFOs. 5 years they spent looking at UFOs. And again, all I can think is, oh, okay, good for you. So that's the first reason we should take it seriously, because the government's admitted that they've studied them. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Of course they've studied them. They're unidentified flying objects. They're trying to identify them. Harry Reid says we're not taking them seriously enough. This is reason number two why we should do this, because Harry Reid says we're not taking them seriously enough. We're not taking UFOs seriously enough. The man who said that Mitt Romney never paid any taxes said we're not taking UFOs seriously enough. Okay. Scientists are much more bullish, suddenly much more bullish about the possibility of life out there. Again, when did scientists stop being bullish about the possibility of life in the universe? When did they stop doing that? From the time I was born, we've believed that there would be, you know, people in the universe. And so suddenly, somehow or another, they're bullish about it. They're especially bullish about these new planets that they're discovering. Well, again, I don't think anybody ever thought that there weren't other planets. They just didn't have any way to find them. Proxima B, the closest exoplanet ever discovered, is potentially habitable world in its own right. TRAPPIST-1 system, LHS, you can read all this stuff yourself. Oh, and there's documentation. This is my favorite part. In 2012, a photographer asked UFO convention attendees who claimed to have seen UFOs to draw them. And so they did. This is the evidence, folks. This is the evidence of UFOs that we're not taking seriously enough. These drawings that people have made of the aliens. Out of body, light, something. I can't read that word. Phases? Fastest? I don't know. That's a good one there. That's some hard Spielberg-type evidence there. My body was rumbling, pumbling. This is awesome right here. That's what they look like. Oh, and then this one. The asteroid looks like a spaceship. Remember this asteroid that went through the solar system and everybody was panicked about this? Oh, my God. There's an asteroid going through this solar system. And it could be an alien. Could be an alien ship, they thought. They said over and over again, this could be an alien ship. And so, my gosh, what if it is? What if this thing is actually a, I don't know. It looked remarkably to me like that probe in Star Trek 4, the one with the whales. Right, Star Trek 4, the one with the whales. The one where the thing comes through and it talks to the whales. And then all of a sudden, because it's talking to the whales, it ionizes the atmosphere and everybody gets and off we go. And then the Starship Enterprise has to go back and get humpback whales. You know the story, right? It's considered to be the second best Star Trek movie, which is completely nonsense, but it's widely considered to be the most popular because people enjoyed it. It was fun, you know. Aliens are fun. See, we're going throughout the universe and all these different races are being affected by this problem. We all have to come together. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. And save the universe from this probe, which is destroying the solar system and destroying the galaxy because it's trying to talk to whales. We don't know what happened if it met the Borg. We don't have any idea on that one. It's not the number two, by the way. It's number three on the list. Star Trek II is number one. Star Trek The Motion Picture is number two. And Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, is number three. Anyway, completely aside, it's weird how we've been treating aliens as these, I don't know. They started out as the enemy. They started out as, you know, invaders from Mars and, well, War of the Worlds, right? They're coming down to invade us and we kill them with viruses because they're not used to our atmosphere and they get infected by our virus like I'm getting infected by this fever, I'm sure. And the next thing you know, they're all dead. And then we got to figure out what to do with a bunch of dead Martians. But now we're starting to treat aliens and Martians as if, I swear to God, there's this mentality. And I guess I didn't really realize it when I was thinking about this. I didn't really make this connection. There's this mentality that says maybe these aliens, maybe these space beings, maybe these things that are from outer space that are, you know, coming to visit us and so forth and so on. Maybe, rather than being a danger to us, perhaps, just maybe, they are our salvation. Maybe these are the things that could keep us from destroying ourselves. And John, you're completely wrong. TMP is not as bad. The animated series is actually pretty good, I think. And TMP, it requires, see, the motion picture is like baseball. People say baseball is boring. It's okay. It's a smart people's sport. The motion picture is the same way. It's a picture for Star Trek fans, for people that actually understand the mission and what's going on. It's a smart people Star Trek. Anyway, back to this. They're starting to treat these aliens as if somehow or another they will be our salvation. See, we can't figure it out. We're too busy pointing fingers at each other going, he did this to me, and he did that to me, and she did that. Impeach. Leave the country. We're so busy doing that these aliens are going to come down like our interstellar parents, and they're going to solve this whole thing for us, right? They're going to turn it around and go, hey, you guys can get along just like you and your brothers did, even though my brother Dan had ridiculous hair. Jeez. He's going to kill me for showing that. The point being, of course, that in all of this, these aliens that are supposed to travel millions of light years, in some cases dozens of light years, to get to us, suddenly will somehow or another be our saviors. They will fix our civilization and all will be well. And then we can go to bed at night, no longer having presidents, no longer having congresspeople, no longer having earthbound leaders over us. Now we will have our new alien overlords who, for our own betterment, will make our life better. And I got to be honest with you, as much as I don't believe that there is alien life, I'm a very firm believer in the Drake equation. I'm a very firm believer that N equals 1. I've seen nothing to convince me otherwise. Oh, I know the arguments. Dave, there's billions upon billions of planets. The odds are, yeah, until you start thinking about the odds of us being here are pretty low, too. In fact, they're so low that, as Einstein once said, somebody monkeyed with the numbers. For all of that, I'm starting to think it might be better off that way. It might be better off being alien slaves. Because I'll tell you what, this is one American parent that's getting tired of all the BS. I really am. I'm getting tired of it. And I had to shut it off last night because I couldn't take it anymore. Can't take it anymore. I don't care whose fault it is. Shut the hell up. Please. You're driving me crazy. I gotta go. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. And hopefully I'll see you tomorrow if I don't get sick. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy it. See you later.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information, or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.